Now, Mr. Headley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Teachers.
The next division is the Division of Teachers, and this is the largest division as far as the appropriation dollars. This is where the bulk of the salary and benefits apportionment ends up. On the screen, you'll see the request, the governor's recommendation, and the JFAC adjusted budget. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Headley concerning this division of education budget? For a motion, Representative Ringo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the teachers division, I move the JFAC adjusted budget with the following changes: an additional base reduction of $18,046,200 of general funds, which is the fiscal equivalent of 3 contract days, the impact of restricting the movement on the experience portion of the multiplier table in 33-1004A Idaho Code by 1 year, and reducing the classroom supplies allowance for teachers from $350 per teacher to $300 per teacher. This motion does not remove funding for the early retirement program. The reduction is immediately followed by an increase of $11,481,100 of ARRA dedicated dollars, stimulus, to offset the fiscal equivalent of 3 contract days, and $5,795,700 of public education stabilization funds to offset the restricted movement on the multiplier table. Below the base budget, I move for a 5% reduction of the base salary and minimum salary, totaling $36,733,200 of general funds. This reduction is immediately followed by an increase of $14,758,200 of ARRA dedicated dollars, resulting in an overall 3% reduction of the base salary and minimum. Also included is $7,676 of general funds to address enrollment growth at an estimated 105 support units. The total of this motion includes $699,227,300 of general funds and $32,035,000 of dedicated funds and $30 million of federal funds for a grand total of $761,262,300.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Jaquit. Would you like to speak further to your motion?
Well, I would, Madam Chair. For clarification, I think the main highlights in this motion are moving the salary reduction from 5% to 3%, removing the freezing of the grid, removing the 3-day base salary reduction or furlough, and agreeing with the recommendation of the state superintendent to reduce the classroom supplies to $350 to $300 per teacher. I think that I've already discussed the notion of going from 5% to 3%. The removing of the furlough 3 days, I think, is very important to not remove that many days of classroom time and contact between the educators and the children. And with respect to the grid, if I might just talk about that for a minute, I think we can all picture what the salary grid looks like. And we know that there's a big triangle that involves the lowest amount of pay that any teacher can get. And we also know that the grid eventually bottoms out. And although this is simply in code the way that the state reimburses the districts for the teachers according to their experience and education, many districts do parallel this grid and I think would probably follow the the freeze recommendation in the way that they compensate their teachers. And I think that the recommendation unfairly just targets certain teachers to have a reduction in what their expected level of pay would be for next year, because many of the teachers on that grid would not get an experience increase. Many of them that are in the lowest pay triangle would not get that, wouldn't be expecting it, and people at the bottom of the grid wouldn't be expecting it. So it isn't, it not only piles on personnel cost reductions to the basic percent pay reduction, but it also does not distribute it fairly. So I think that we have a good motion there. Again, I defend using the stimulus funds and rainy day funds to the extent that we have, because I think it's important for the economy, and it's also important educationally for the increased contact between educators and kids that we get by eliminating the furlough days.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions on this motion? Any comments? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for a substitute motion.
It's in order.
Madam Chairman, for the Teachers Division, I move the JFAC adjusted budget with the following changes. An additional base reduction of $20,046,300 of general funds, which is the fiscal equivalent of three contract days. The fiscal impact of restricting the movement on the experience portion of the multiplier table in 33-1004A Idaho Code by 1 year, repeal of one half of the early retirement provision in Idaho Code, and reducing the classroom supply allowance for teachers from $350 per teacher to $300 per teacher. This reduction is immediately followed by an increase of $12,481,100 of ARRA dedicated dollars, also known as stimulus, to offset the fiscal equivalent of three contract days and to address the early retirement program. This motion does not provide funding to offset the impact of restricting the movement on the multiplier table. Below the base budget, I move for a 5% reduction of personnel costs totaling $36,733,200 of general funds. This is followed by an increase of $17,475,400 in ARRA dedicated dollars, resulting in an overall 2.63% base salary reduction. This motion also includes an increase of $7,704,800 of general funds to address enrollment growth at an estimated 105 support units. The total of this motion includes $696,256,000 of general funds, $29,956,500 of dedicated funds, and $30 million of federal funds, for a grand total of $756,212,500.
And that will be seconded by Representative Bayer. Mr. Headley, did we need
Madam
a little help
here? Senator Keogh, if you could read the first number of the motion again. I might have missed that.
Madam Chairman and Mr. Headley, the first at the top with the additional base reduction?
Yes.
$21,046,300 of general funds.
Does that track, Mr. Headley?
I believe it will once I...
Okay, well, we can check the... We can check the wall to the screen.
There we go.
Are we okay? We have a motion and a second. Are you okay with the numbers on the screen, Senator? I hope you can see them.
I can see them. Madam Chairman, they look correct.
Okay. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Just briefly, Madam Chairman, you know, this isn't easy for any of us. In the interest of full disclosure, conflict of interest, I am married to wonderful 33-year veteran of teaching. On the early retirement issue, this motion allows for a two-year phase-out of this program. So my hope is those that are in the pipeline this year will be able to utilize that program, but it does phase it out over time. Certainly the Germain committees are having discussions on this program and where it ought to go in the future. On the experience portion of the multiplier table, while I am respectful of that grid, I would note that there aren't, it's certainly not replicated elsewhere that I'm aware of in our state agencies, and haven't found too many places where it's replicated in the private sector either. And so it is a step that we need to take for this year. And then just in general terms, I guess, just a reminder, we had to use $85 million to hold this school budget harmless for this year. And we still have April, May, and June to go. And so in my mind, we need to make sure that we have enough in our reserves to avoid any cutting in the middle of 2010, which would be devastating, more devastating, I believe, than what we might be doing here.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Hammond.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for, well, first of all, for a clarification. In the interest of full disclosure, I have one son and two daughters-in-law who are teachers, and I'm real thrilled about cutting their salary.
Would you like to speak to my nieces and nephews who are also in the school district, Senator?
That's my point, Madam Chair. The question is, there has been discussion about the grid and the ability to freeze that, or the effort to freeze that grid. But as I understand it, regardless of what we do at this level, the actual compensation in individual districts will vary depending upon how that district handles that. Is that correct?
Senator Cameron.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senator Hammond, you are correct. Remember that the grid is simply a conduit, a mechanism by which we distribute money to the local districts. We don't set teacher salaries, and that's a hard thing to convey. The local district sets the individual teacher salaries.
Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So following that then, because we don't set salaries, regardless of what we do here in terms of cuts, the cuts could be more or they could be less depending upon what that district does with their total funding sources. Is that correct?
Senator.
Madam Chairman, yes, and Senator Hammond, in my estimation, that's correct. Most likely less than what we do. We are simply reducing, under either motion, the amount of money distributed to the district for salaries, for teacher salaries. They then, in turn, have their mechanism. Some of them have a duplicate grid, or some have their own grid that they will then have to determine how to handle salaries. And how to handle those adjustments in that grid.
Senator?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions on either of the two motions before us? Representative Jaquin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to indicate with regard to the grid. I mean, the grid was really put in place so there would be some kind of uniformity with regard to flow. And it was a compromise legislation a long time ago. So I think that I have an issue with freezing the grid, because I think that when we first came here early on the legislative session, we talked about trying to give our local officials as much discretion as possible. And I with all due respect to the good co-chair, I think we're saying a message by freezing the grid, and so I have a problem with that. But I want to talk a little bit about the early retirement, in that I carried the bill on the floor many years ago. And one of the visions that we had was that someone might want to quit if they were at a point where they would want to retire from teaching to have an incentive so they wouldn't stay longer if they didn't really want to and if they were kind of burned out, quite frankly. And so I have a problem with this legislation in that it's an issue of fairness to me because it doesn't give the proper notice to people. I mean, people have already made their plans, and I remember listening to people that had retired from state employment talking this summer at some of these insurance meetings and talking about how they had sat down and taken a pencil and worked on a flow sheet to figure out how they were going to be able to handle it. And so this curveball had kind of changed what they wanted to do. I think we're saying them a curveball with phasing this out over 2 years. I would have preferred to send a notice this year rather than cutting it in half. The symbol I had with regard to the retirement in my mind was that someone would want to retire from teaching and possibly open a small store. And I think that we've looked at the amount of funding that someone can get, and that seemed like a nice down payment in a small community to open a small store, which sort of promoted small business, and that was my vision of the program. So I cannot support the substitute motion because I think that from the issue of fairness, we haven't really been fair to people. We haven't given them proper notice. And also, I think what we've done here, too, we've had quite a few discussions about making sure we are fair, and we're now developing a two-tiered system with regard to funding that we're sending for administrators as well as teachers. And to me, the teacher is critical for the success of the classroom, but the administrator is critical for the success of the school. And if we don't have that leadership and we don't have the team working together, and I think that we're basically creating some problems here with this sort of two-tiered kind of system. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Representative. Chair. Representative Bayer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just some brief comments in support of the substitute motion. I want to reflect on a couple things that have been said here in regards to the funding mechanism and the implications of the property tax M&O. You know, one of the important things to reflect upon was the lack of a nexus, and I realize that we are in difficult budget times, but yeah, since that debate was brought up, we really should reflect upon how things, not just how things were funded, but the lack of a relationship to property values and where they are now. And, you know, that needs to be reassessed. I don't think that can be taken lightly or taken for granted. In regards to the teachers' division specifically, I'd like to recognize the difficult work in this climate. And We've had the economic outlook and all the realities of what we're facing and all the hard work of the germane committees to help with the budget process in regards to contract flexibility, in regards to the grid. I'd like to say no one has worked more diligently in the last several years in the budget setting process towards efforts like increasing the minimum teacher starting salary. However, you know, we have to recognize the climate that we're in now, and we had debate that was rather substantial 1 year ago in regards to the grid and in regards to a lot of difficulties and I'll just say flaws. I believe last year several folks basically came to the conclusion that it was broken and needed to be addressed. And, you know, I have angst with where we are now, but I see some of these steps as necessary, and we have to look at this globally, and I think that we are in our best due diligence to make all the pieces fit with the entire budget. And with that, I would ask for your support of this motion.
Thank you, Representative Ringo.
Thank you. Just a brief comment on the early retirement program, and also would like to comment that I admire the relationship I hear between many of you and members of your family that teach, and I spent 38 years in the classroom myself, and I think that I have a very good sense of what it entails. The there, some of the discussions we've had in the past involving teachers and trying to keep the best teachers in the classroom, I think we had such discussions last year and overtime. The early retirement, in part, to me, is a tool for administrators to use. When they recognize a teacher who has gotten to a point where they're just having difficulty coping with the rigors of the classroom. And many teachers in that position who are at the later stages of their careers may not be able to afford to retire when it's clear to everyone that it might be time. And I think that, to me, one of the important aspects of the early retirement is that it affords a tool to be able to use that and assure that we can keep the best possible educators in front of the classroom and working with children.
Senator, thank you. Senator Bill, did I miss you with a question?
No, Madam Chair, thank you.
Okay, you bet. Senator Cameron.
Well, Madam Chairman, as my good Vice Chairman mentioned, this is not an easy day or an easy process for any of us. It's rather painful, as was the vote that was had a few weeks ago on the 13th, or it seems like a few weeks ago. It was actually not that long ago when we voted to reduce personnel costs for all state agencies by 5%. Now, that was a very painful day, and today's a very painful day. I think we're all touched. We all have family members, or we all have relationships with teachers that have influenced our kids and influenced our own lives. And we are all products of teachers. And for that, I am grateful. The motions that are before you are difficult choices, but in essence, both of them do essentially the same thing. They reduce teacher salaries, and a couple of the only differences is how they do that. One reduces the amount of funding. I should be careful again and remind myself, we don't set teacher salaries, the local districts do. But we do submit money to the local districts, and we reduce in one motion, the substitute motion, 2.63%, whereas in the original motion we reduce 3%. The 2.63 does also have the freezing of the grid. Again, that simply holds it so that it's in my opinion does not complicate the matter. If you didn't freeze the grid, you would have to have a larger salary reduction in order to meet the same bottom line. Now, a lot has been mentioned about early retirement, so let me talk about early retirement. For years, I think the co-chair and I can remember maybe as long as we've served as co-chairman, there's been a discussion about early retirement. And we have always supported it, albeit it may be has not been very effective or cost effective. So it's not something anybody who has followed the budget setting process to some small degree would know that's been an item of discussion. We all admit that we potentially will have a teacher shortage. And so an early retirement program it contradicts that a potential problem. So first, we have to wonder whether it's cost effective, and then secondly, how it affects the potential teacher shortage. We've also provided for, and I've carried, and I think most of you, if not all of you, have voted for an opportunity for teachers to be rehired and go back to work in the district after they have in fact retired and collect both their Percy benefits and be able to be rehired. That is a little bit contradictory to having an early retirement program. So I think the compromise that the superintendent tried to strike in phasing it out over 2 years, doing half of it this year and half of it next year, is a reasonable compromise, and we should give him credit for that. Two last comments, Madam Chairman, and this is perhaps the toughest vote out of the five that we'll take for public schools, so I'll make them here. Comments were made earlier about shifting off of the property values. Had we had not done that, I think sometimes people they want to poke at us for making that adjustment, but in reality, had we have not done that, public schools would have their amount of money they would have received would have reduced because property values have fallen dramatically, and there would not have been $114 million in a stabilization fund. That was the trade-off. And that stabilization fund was there to protect them in 05, even though we didn't end up in 09, even though we didn't end up using it because of the stimulus dollars. It will be there at the end of the fiscal year, which we will have to dip into by some $5 million. It will be there if revenues fall further in April and May and June to protect public schools from cuts. And it will be there in fiscal year 2010 should the economy continue to fall. Now, should the economy rebound, we'll be halfway through the budget year, through the fiscal year. It certainly would be our opportunity, should the economy rebound and we have revenue, to reassess this and reassess some of these choices. We could certainly come back and unfreeze the grid. We could certainly come back and do some of the other things that are concerning us. Unfortunately, nobody in this room put us in this situation. The situation was brought to us by the economy. And that economy wasn't driven by what was going on here in Idaho. It's driven by what's going on nationally and, in fact, globally. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Hammond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have talked about the fact that this is a tough vote to take, and it certainly is for many reasons, but I want to again put this in perspective. What we are doing, and this is a state that now has well over 55,000 and unemployed. This is a state who took the biggest dive of almost any state in the country. But what we are doing is we are keeping people employed. We aren't putting more people in the unemployment line. We're doing our best to do that. And I think we need to remember that. Yes, we are taking a cut in pay. All of us are. All of us in this room who are part of this government are all taking that cut in pay. But we know this is temporary, and we know that we will recover from this, and we will restore these cuts. Now, it may take a couple of years, but we are going to get there. One of the things that happens in this country, every time that we get a substantial downturn, and this is an historic recession, we reinvent ourselves, and we come out stronger as a nation and stronger as a state, and we will do that again. And I think we need to keep that perspective. We'll make it through this tough time. It's not going to be forever. It's a short-term problem for us. We will fix it, and we will move forward.
Thank you, Senator. Now, Senator LaFaver.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And having served for 4 years on the House Revenue and Taxation Committee, I would just like to make a quick comment first about the property tax, and that is that the property tax system is a self-adjusting system. And if these funds were still coming from that system, it would be at the same level. And I think it's really important to remember that. It is the kind of tax system that remains stable through difficult times because the rate adjusts so that a person pays the same amount. And to say that, you know, this situation is not of our own making may not be entirely accurate. And I would say that because already in schools in our state, you can look in Meridian and there are first grade teachers with more than 35 kids in their classroom. One teacher, 35 first graders. And I don't know if you've ever worked with first graders. I have, and I cannot even imagine a school classroom with that many first graders in it. And this was before these cuts. I believe that we have made our schools live so close to the bone that when we got to today and we wanted to make more cuts, we are, in essence, essentially breaking our public school system. I really believe that we cannot do what this particular substitute motion says and hold harmless the kids of our state.
Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd just like to add a little for the substitute motion. I have to expose my wife is a teacher. I do depend on her income for my retirement. However, it is tough all over. Everyone's suffering from this, and I sympathize with teachers. But we have staff right here in this room that work over 24 hours now to help us with these budgets. And they're getting a huge cut in their salary, and we haven't heard any complaints. I have to give them credit for all their hard work and dedication. And I guess we are all in the same boat. We're just trying to get through it.
Thank you. We have two motions before us. I see no further questions or comments and no further motions. Margaret, would you please call the roll on the substitute motion?
Cameron. Keo, Broadsword, Bear, Hammond,
aye.
Brackett,
aye.
Sitaway,
aye.
Mortimer,
aye.
Bill U,
no.
Lefebvre,
no.
Bell,
aye.
Boltz,
aye.
Eskridge,
aye.
Bayer,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
McGeehan,
aye.
Wood,
aye.
Patrick,
aye.
Ringo,
no.
Jaquit.
Does anyone wish to change his or her vote? Roll call shows 16 ayes, 4 nays, no absent excused. A majority having voted in the affirmative, the motion has passed. Without objection, we'll carry a due pass recommendation.